And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. Hope you're having a fantastic day. A little chilly out there, 28 degrees. We'll warm it up to about 42 today. So, and joining us here today from Coffeyville Regional Medical Center, we have the speech pathologist Gail Billman with us this morning. And Gail, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Kyle. I'm doing great.
It's good to have you in studio today. And you're going to be talking, obviously, like I just said, about speech, sometimes I need it, apparently, speech-language pathology services. So, I guess the first question I have for you, what does speech-language pathology include?
Well, it's actually a very diverse field, Kyle. I think a lot of people remember maybe having a classmate in elementary school or something that somebody didn't pronounce their sounds correctly. That's one of the major things that we see, especially when you work with younger kiddos. They have difficulty pronouncing sounds, so we do some things to modify their how they produce sounds. So that's called articulation. Another big area is receptive and expressive language. So if somebody maybe has had an adult has had a stroke or some kind of a neurological impairment, they may have trouble listening and processing language. So that's one that's called receptive language, kind of in a nutshell. And then expressive language would be something where you have difficulty coming up with names of things or forming words. You might know what you want to say in your brain, but it just won't come out. So that's kind of a quick and dirty of expressive language. Another area we work with a lot is people with swallowing problems in the hospital. That's probably one of the main things that I would see with a referral for a patient that has been newly admitted to the hospital. Somebody who's had a lot of generalized weakness. If you think about your whole body being weak, you're also going to be weak in your mouth and your throat muscles. And so we do get quite a few referrals from our hospitalists to see patients with some swallowing issues. Another area is fluency, which is, in layman's terms, stuttering. So we see that more with younger kids when they're trying to develop their language. They might have a period of time where they have some issues. We also see that with some neurological patients as well. A person may have had a stroke or a brain tumor that might affect an area where it can kind of affects that motor control. And so you might hear some people kind of catching on words. And another area is voice. Here, in a smaller area, we don't really customize a whole lot, but there are actually people that work with professional singers and actors in that area. That was not one of my things to do to move to Hollywood or anything like that. But I do, personally, I have a specialty training with voice with persons with Parkinson's disease, and it's called LSVT Loud. So that's a specialty thing within voice that I can actually provide a service here in Southeast Kansas.
Yeah, my son, my oldest son, he's 13, and he kind of, when he talks, he kind of talks real quick, and he doesn't enunciate real quick, and he's been taking, or he lives out in OKC, he's been seeing a speech pathologist to kind of help him learn to slow down a little bit when you're talking. I have to talk so quick, because he kind of runs his words together sometimes, because there's a lot of times I'll be like, Brandon, what'd you say?
Right.
He'll say something to me, it's like slow, and I always tell him, slow down, enunciate your words so I can understand what you're saying, and he usually ends up doing that. It's just sometimes he goes back into the talking fast sometimes.
Absolutely.
And again, that takes a little while, and he's only 13 years old, so hopefully with this working with the pathologist, they'll work out. And like you said, with the stuttering, I actually even had a boss that had that problem a little bit. It happened a little bit, but not a whole lot. But I remember talking to him, he said that as a kid they taught him to kind of think about what you're saying, and he still stuttered a little bit, but he did a lot better than he did when he was a kid. So
it's amazing, there's a lot of professionals with that issue, and how they've overcome it, it's just amazing.
Also, let's go ahead and keep on moving. So what ages, obviously it can be all ages, but what ages of people receive speech therapy services?
Actually, birth through the end of life. We do it all, which is actually quite fun. Not the end of life, obviously.
Right.
But, it's very rewarding as a profession. We'll see. I've actually probably the youngest kiddo I've worked with is about 2 weeks, who's had some feeding issues. And I actually just saw a gentleman not too long ago, 101 years old. So He's actually healthier than a lot of 50-year-olds. So, you know, all ages, primarily, you know, the younger kiddos, that birth to three range, we see some feeding issues, and then just some, not necessarily, some of them speech sounds, but a lot of just language. They just don't have the ability to get that vocabulary going. And then within that birth to three, we start to see some kiddos that are coming out in the autism spectrum. And so that's a lot of language and social language based things that we'll see in there. At the hospital, you know, again, we provide services to all ages. So that's something, again, where, you know, that lots of experience within a therapist is very vital and very important to have in that setting.
So anyway, so again, you cover basically the gambit pretty much from, like you said, birth all the way up until end of life. And so when it comes to school, though, for kids, how does speech therapy differ for children at the hospital versus having therapy at the school?
Sure. And even professionally, I've worked in I have about 30 years experience. So I've actually worked in all settings at this point in my career. And in order to receive services in the school system, you actually have to qualify for services. And there's different special education rules and regulations for that. So the kind of the rule of thumb, if it's a child with an articulation problem, they have to have 2 to 3 sound errors, or their articulation has to, and I use air quotes as I say this, be educationally relevant. So there has to be a component that affects their learning and their education program through the school system. So, you know, again, you'll see a lot of kiddos in the school system that have the articulation or the receptive and expressive language issues. The difference with that, when I see a child school age, infant, toddler, and school age in the hospital, it's more of a medical type treatment. It's a medical setting. So basically, your doctor, your medical provider would refer you for a service, for a concern, and we evaluate you and see kind of where you are. The biggest difference, say, you know, there's a student who's 8 years old and they can't pronounce their R sound. They may or may not have such a significant problem that they can, in fact, receive services at school, but they do need help. You know, that definitely affects their ability to communicate.
That was one of the letters my oldest had trouble pronouncing for the longest time. He would end up saying wah instead of rah, you know.
Right.
So he that was one of the letters he always had trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the last ones he had trouble with, pretty much.
Yeah. So they would be able to get that individualized service with us at the hospital. One of the other components, and my hat goes off to school-based therapists. I was one. They are super busy. Within the school setting, a lot of times kiddos will get therapy in small groups, 2 to 4 students at a time. So the therapist is working with all of those kiddos. There's some great things about that. The kids can learn off of each other, you know, similar to being in a classroom. It's just a smaller setting. But they don't get that real individualized time. They only have a small component of their day. Whereas I can see a patient 30 to 45 minutes individually with the licensed therapist, you know, and that one-on-one. And one of my biases, I do bring the parents or the caregivers into the therapy room with me so they know exactly what to do. We have a home program going on, so it's a lot more individualized service we can offer in a private setting.
And that's cool, bringing the parent in, because while they're not, you know, seeing you, they can help them at home as well, where they can kind of go, hey, this is what they said. That way they can kind of learn themselves to help them out at home, correct?
Absolutely.
That definitely is a good thing. So tell us about your staff for speech therapy at CREMC, because I know they do a great job over there, and you guys do a great job.
Thank you for saying that. We do have a great staff in the rehab department, all physical, occupational, and speech therapy. I started full-time at CREMC about 2.5 years ago, and within a very short time, we saw a huge growth within our program. So we actually brought in another therapist last June. Her name is Trish Boskin. She has just about as much experience as I do. So it's kind of nice having, you know, kind of the old gals. That's what we're called in the department. But, you know, Trish has a great background. She's worked with infants and toddlers in preschools, the most majority of her settings. And then she's also done some work in skilled nursing homes. So, she has that whole birth through the end of life experience. So we both bring that uniqueness to the department.
So again, you guys do a great job over there. So if somebody was wanting to get set up for therapy at CRMC, how can they do that?
Well, if they just have questions, you know, a lot of times people just have questions before they want to talk to their medical provider. And I encourage people just to try to give me a phone call and kind of talk through maybe what their concerns are. And, you know, they could call our department and I'll be glad to offer that number. But if they are concerned and their, you know, their medical provider has noticed some things, then we operate off of a doctor's order. So the doctor would send a script for evaluation and treatment, and then whatever the concern would be. And then we would go from there, provide an evaluation, and then kind of line up a plan of care and move forward.
And I know this is one thing that always kind of concerns somebody, everybody when they go to the hospital. How are speech therapy services paid? Is it insurance, or how does that work out?
It's insurance based. You know, we do have some people that will do private pay. I'm not going to lie, that does get pretty pricey pretty quick. With Medicaid and Medicare seem to be our main payers. We do have some private insurances as well.
And obviously, we're always looking for people to, you know, get into the speech language pathology. So if someone were interested in this as a career choice, what advice would you share with them?
I would say, number one, you need to love to work with people of all varieties. I've had a lot of students come through and observe with me over my years, and they'll say, well, I only want to work with kiddos. And I always say, if you're working with kids, you're going to be working with their parents. And if you're working with an adult patient, you're going to be working with their families and caregivers as well. So, you know, you have to have that passion to help people, number one, because you see a lot of things that people's lives are completely uprooted and changed because of a disability or an onset of an illness. So you have to have that passion. As far as schooling, it's a master's degree program. That's why I have so many of those crazy initials that you saw behind my name there. It is a master's level program, so a lot of clinical-based experience and a lot of textbook work as well. I would say work hard, be open to anything, and keep learning, because the field constantly changes. Technology has helped us tremendously over my 30-year career. It's really nice now to be able to use a computerized device to give somebody a voice where they may not have had one, and it's very, very rewarding. I can't think of a different career choice I would change to do personally.
Have you ever had like patients where you record them and then when they've gotten like a lot better, have they ever asked, hey, can I hear that, what I used to sound like? Does that happen quite a bit?
Absolutely. That's matter of fact, that's something that I do with my LSVT Loud certification with the patients with Parkinson's disease. We do a recording the very first day, the first evaluation of them reading a passage or even conversational speech. And then this actually is a 16 session, very stringent program. It's 1 hour each day, four days a week for 4 weeks. It's intense. And so about midway through, we'll do another video. And then at the end, and it is absolutely amazing for people to see their changes. I notice those things subtly as their mm-hmm. therapist, but I'm not with them 24/7. It's really exciting to see some of the kiddos that we work with. You know, they'll come in and mom and dad will have a video of them at a birthday party or something and show me that, you know, where they're not saying anything. And then, you know, we get language going and they're talking in sentences. So it's really exciting to see those changes.
That's got to be absolutely 100% extremely rewarding as well to see that you're helping that kid or just that person to help them be able to just basically speak better, speak normal. Because, again, it can be tough at times. And, again, that's got to be extremely rewarding to Tennessee.
Yes, it is. Very much.
All right. Well, Gail, if anybody has any more questions they would like to ask about speech language pathology at CRMC, how can they get a hold of you guys?
They can. I have a direct number to my office. It is 620-252-1101. And then our rehab main number is 620-252-1505.
All right. Well, Gail, thank you so much for coming in today and talking about speech language pathology. And again, we hope to see you again soon.
I plan on being here again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we will have news coming up at the top of the hour and some other things. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.